Ladies and gentlemen, this bonded security agent has just placed a certified check for $47,000 in one of these 66 surprise packages. Today, someone may win any one of our fabulous prizes, or that grand prize of $47,000 on Treasure Hunt. From Hollywood, it's Treasure Hunt. And here's the star of our show, Jeff Edwards.
Thank you very much. Welcome. Thank you. Nice to have you. Thank you very much. And welcome to Treasure Hunt, the television show with 66 prize packages. And one of those packages today contains a check for $47,000.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is another CLW83 WLTI Live Extra. And this is, unfortunately, the second time we've had to do this in a week. And in this particular case, this is a legend who passed away today at the age of 83, who pretty much affected the entertainment and game show lives for about 40 to 50 years. His name is Jeff Edwards. He passed away at the age of 83. I have my WLTI Live cohorts here. Chico Alexander, how are you?
I'm really good, thanks.
And Gordon Pepper, how are you, sir?
Usually I'd say something cute, like I have a clunk in my pants or something like that. Unfortunately, now is not the time or the place, even though I just did it anyway. I'm okay. Battling the cold, virus, flu, whatever ailment of the month. But unfortunately, yeah, this is a horrible moment in game show history, just because, you know, last week we were here for Jim Lang, and Jim Lang may be the more mainstream, main profile name, but I think Jeff Edwards is the bigger loss in the game show community.
I happen to agree, and we'll get to his legacy in a minute, but the way I want to focus this is sort of, in a way, a life in three acts. And Gordon, when we talked about Jim Lang last week, we talked about Jim Lang as being part of that school of the Wink Martindales, Bob Barkers, Bob Eubanks, who started their life in radio. And Edwards was exactly that sort of a guy.
He absolutely was the same sort of guy. He's got a very extensive radio repertoire. I'm sure that you've got it, or at least...
I actually have the obit as written by a colleague of his. You may have heard of him. they're actually working at the same station for a while. In fact, one would lead to the other.
Go for it.
I don't know if you've heard of Wink Martindale, but here's what he had to say. I knew Jeff Edwards perhaps longer than I knew any other person in radio and television. I worked with Jeff for the longest period as well. It is with a sense of great sadness and deep loss that today I learned of his passing. As one of the cleverest and funniest radio personalities I have ever known, it was my good fortune for over 10 years to have Jeff as my lead-in middays on Gene Autry's flagship KMPC. That would be the station in Los Angeles. By any measure, thanks to his compelling personality and genuine flair for what was funny, he made my job so much easier. As host of several popular television game shows, Jeff brought these same abilities to the small screen. As host of Treasure Hunt, because of the nature of the show, Jeff had to memorize every script, plus the prepared ad lib around any unscripted changes that occur on such a show. And we've got one such ad lib that you're going to hear later on in the podcast. My condolences, and those of my wife, to Jeff's wife and his extended family. It goes without saying that he will be sorely missed, but he will forever be remembered as one of the bright lights of his genre. And, of course, we like to add our sentiments, our thoughts, and our prayers to him and his family and his extended network of friends as well. We are proud to have called him friend.
Absolutely. Now, one of the more interesting, and I did not know about this until tonight, believe it or not, one of the most seminal events of American history was the Kennedy assassination 50 years ago, November 22nd, 1963. When Jeff Edwards was a news reporter, He was present at the basement of the Dallas Police Department when Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald, believe it or not. And we have, believe it or not, his firsthand account, courtesy of a clip posted on the Ken Levine blog, and listen to how Jeff Edwards describes his account of what happened in 1963.
There is Lee Oswald. He's been shot. He's been shot. Lee Oswald has been shot. There's the man with a gun. It's absolute panic. Absolute panic here in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. Detectives have their guns drawn. Oswald has been shot. There is no question about it. Oswald has been shot. Pandemonium has broken loose here in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. Well, now, tell me your name.
Yeah, I'm Jeff Edwards from KHJ Radio in Los Angeles.
Well, how did you see it, Jeff?
I was standing over towards the left. Oswald came out. He had the same look on his face that he always does or has. Suddenly, sounded like a loud firecracker rang out. He grabbed his side and he said, "Ow!" and fell to the ground.
Now, Jeff Edwards, again, was one of those guys who was a radio guy. Was an actor at one point. He did some movies, did some television shows, but then he started to get into game shows into the 1970s. Did a couple of shows called Says Who, Cop Out, and a couple of shows that, you know, got him noticed, like Hollywood's Talking and I Bet. However, in 1974, there was a lot of shows were out based out of New York. And Gordon, we played his first real hit at a game show convention. And this, in my opinion, was an underrated game show called Jackpot. This was the start of Jeff Edwards' success. Why do you think that was?
One of the reasons why I think Jeff Edwards is who he is, and I'm going to go a little bit off tangent here, but you'll understand why I'm going to tie Jackpot into it. Jeff Edwards was the poor man's versatile Bill Cullen, so to speak. He could do a lot of different things. One of the things that you're going to see later on in his career is that he doesn't just do trivia game shows. He can do anything from playing the actor and the comic, in this case with Treasure Hunt, and he got a great anecdote that he had to memorize every single thing, which, again, as a game show host, was unheard of back then or in any other era. So he had to play that sort of role. In terms of Jackpot, one of the things that we always talk about a game show host is the fact that you have to be the conduit of any game. You have to learn when to control the action. You had to learn when to hold back. Jeff Edwards was the consummate host because his versatility showed in almost every single role that he played, whether it was as a kiddie host for Starcade, whether it was an actor for Treasure Hunt, or in this case, whether he was an MC in Jackpot.
Yeah, and now Jackpot was a game that, ironically enough, my mother and father both appeared on back in 1975, and I was in the audience at the age of 7, and because they were taping it out of New York. But basically, what Jackpot was another Bob Stewart production. It was basically a riddle game. Now, Chico, why don't you introduce this next clip, please?
Will do. This is a clip from Jackpot from
1974.
The list. It was a Super Jackpot with $38,750 when Jackpot first aired on NBC. And if you remember, and audio doesn't do it any justice, but one of the appeals, and actually, I'll save it until after the clip. Here's Jackpot, 1974 on NBC.
Pam, the riddles range in value from $5 to $200. You're looking for a $40 riddle.
This feels like home. Number three.
Number three.
Super Jackpot!
There it is.
one riddle is worth $38,750. I'll read it, and I'll repeat it once, and you'll have 5 seconds. He's a carpenter, and I'm a shepherd. But we were both in the same line of work. What's our line?
Astronaut?
Right! For coming in!
Audio doesn't do it proper justice. It's on YouTube. Go ahead, take a look at it. But it just speaks to the height of the success of Jackpot on the NBC schedule was Jeff Edwards was not your typical suit and tie game show host. I mean, this was 1974. And
he was in the turtlenecks.
He was in the turtlenecks. He's got the leisure suit on. He's got the jeans on. He's got the mop top. He was Maude.
He also had the chains going. It was the whole nine yards. But
this cat was styling.
He was styling. And Jackpot was around for 2 years. And remember, this was during one of the heydays of game shows. Remember, Gordon, there was a ton of game shows shooting out of New York for all of the three major networks back then.
Got to remember, 1975, you had 25 game shows on in daytime syndication. And again, remember, back then you didn't have cable. So 25 game shows on the three major networks, that's a huge number of shows. And again, back then you had shows in New York and Chicago and Los Angeles.
Right, exactly. So then around the same time, an unknown game show producer named Chuck Barris wanted to hire Edwards to host a revival of a Jan Murray show back in the 50s called Treasure Hunt, which was called The New Treasure Hunt, which was, in effect, the show that kind of defined him, but it was only one of many hits that he had. Gordon, I know we've discussed this many times over, but Edwards' brilliance in Treasure Hunt is very underrated, don't you think?
It's incredibly underrated. Again, one of the things that Chico said before, but I'm going to play this in a different angle. Not only did you have to learn every single thing, he also had to play the role of Monty Hall before Monty Hall really hit it on Let's Make a Deal. And it's funny that I mentioned that. I'm going to come back to this point later on. But he was the person that sort of knew where everything was, you know, in addition to Emil Lettieri, who was the person that put the check in the box. He was the person that knew where the car was, where the clunks were. So he had to play that role of showman and as well as actor, as well as game show host. But right now in this era, we have comics that can't even do any of those things properly. Jeff Edwards probably could have been a comic as well, just because of the versatility that he had on that game show. And you could really consider him a comic at that point.
Right.
Well, he was in a couple of variety troupes during the 60s and 70s, so he definitely had the comic chops for that.
Right.
But, and he used them.
Yes, but
a lot.
Oh, and he used them. But what happened was that, in a way, the Treasure Hunt troupe back in the day, they were an improv troupe, if you really want to look at it that way. Okay.
Absolutely.
And what happened was that he had to, as you said, he had to memorize all the scripts, play it, and he was a master at building tension when he knew the check was there, or when he knew a good prize was there.
Or even when he knew that nothing was there.
Right, exactly. One of my favorite interviews with him about this was the fact that they only had women contestants, if you remember back then.
Right.
Because he said that men would kick his behind. If you remember that, right? But what happened was that he was the master of the improv. And Chico, what do you got for us to show our listeners what he could do?
Okay, I got this clip from the third run of Treasure Hunt, believe it or not. 1981 was the year. If you remember, the top money on the third run of Treasure Hunt was $50,000. So far as I know, it was only won 8 times. And every time it was not won, it started out as $25,000, went up $1,000 for every time it wasn't run. The $50,000 was only won 8 times. This is time number 8, where Rose picks her box, declines her offer, and has a Jamaica feeling. Give a listen. Treasure Hunt, 1981.
Rose says she's going to take the box. $920. The first time, and Rose, this is about, what, the fourth time you've done this?
Yeah.
The first time you took the money just like that?
Yeah.
Then each time after that you took the box?
Yeah.
Did you get a feeling or something or what? Huh? A Jamaica feeling? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. A Jamaica feeling. Jamaica feeling.
Reggae.
Reggae, yeah. Did you make a mistake? Did you make a feeling? Did you make a mistake?
Yeah.
Get that?
Yeah.
How strong did you make a feel?
Very strong.
Really strong?
Really strong. Would lift the wall. Tear the wall to lift the body.
Well, Rose...
Heavy,
No, it's not heavy. I could lift it with 2 hands. Rose, you gave up $920. You're applauding that?
Yeah.
And that's almost $1,000.
Yeah.
And you own what is in that box. Now, you have not been clunked yet at all on this show, have you?
No.
You know what a clunk is?
Yeah.
Say clunk.
Clunk.
What is a clunk?
I forgot.
What? No, you can't forget what a clunk is. A clunk is something bad.
Oh, something bad.
Well, okay. I can tell you that this is not a clunk. It's a piece of paper.
Oh, come on.
And on that piece of paper, it says, Rose, that you have won $50,000!
Shows how awesome he was in building the tension, you know, making the levels, and it's again
milking the moment for all it's worth, basically.
Exactly. And of course, while these were going on, he hosted a show called Shoot for the Stars, and then his third hit, okay, which was a word game called Chain Reaction.
Yeah, and he started out as the sub-host on NBC for a week for Bill Cullen, while Bill Cullen was doing Password Plus for an ailing Alan Ludden. You can read about this in Adam Neediff's book, Quizmaster. It's all there.
Yes, and by the way, Adam provided a lot of these clips that we have tonight as well.
And we thank him for that.
Okay. And then he hosted it for 5 years in both Canada and the United States. I believe it was mostly in Canada, though.
It was taped in Canada, but it was exported to the U.S. via the USA Network.
Right. And, of course, we have a clip from that one as well. Why don't we take a listen to hear how well he does on this particular version of Chain Reaction.
All you have to do is complete one more chain. And as you know, we'll give you the first word of that chain. It is Martha. And we'll give you the first letters of the next 6 words. We'll give you 7 more letters to use as you might need them. And you complete that chain, John and Antoinette. You're going to have yourself a nice honeymoon. $6,000. All right? Antoinette, you are first up. Under Martha is a G.
George.
George. Well, yeah, George Washington was married to Martha, but that's not what we're looking for, so we'll put a letter up there for you. And it is an R. John?
Gray.
Martha Gray. Not Martha Gray. No, it's some distant relative, but no, that's not it. We'll put another letter up. Now, does that help you out, Antoinette?
Grace?
No, doggone it. We have to use up another letter. And we will do that.
Graham.
Graham. Martha Graham, right. A wonderful dance choreographer. Still doing dance choreography in her 90s, I think, right now. So there you go. Now, you have 4 letters left. Let's try to get a word without using up any letters. Under Graham is a C for Antoinette.
Crackers?
That's the way to do it. Four words to go for $6,000. Under crackers is a C. John, that's for you.
Cheese.
Cheese. Yeah, cheese. Now you're in much better shape now. 3 words to go for $6,000. 4 letters left up there. Under cheese, Antoinette is a C.
Cheddar?
Cheddar. Good guess, but that's not it. Let's put a letter up. It is an A, John.
Cake.
Cheese cake. Right.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear.
2 words to go for $6,000. Under K is a W. Antoinette.
Wedding?
No, it's not wedding. I wish it were, but it's not. And that will cost you a letter. We'll put it up there. It's an A. John, can you do it?
Water.
No, not water. Another letter goes up. And they're getting kind of scarce now. Come on, Antoinette.
Wall.
It's not wall. We're going to use up your last letter, and it will spell out the word. Cake walk. It's an old dance that was done, maybe before your time, but it still happened. So there you go. We have 1 word to go, and that word separates you from $6,000. No letters to help out. John, if you get it, you got $6,000.
Stride.
If it's stride, you have $6,000.
Yes!
Congratulations, John.
I gotta call my broker.
No,
this goes to her now for your honeymoon. No socks with this. But let me tell you something that's really interesting. Half the people out there, I bet you, were saying step.
I was debating. I'm there to have to put a harder word than step.
Oh, that's the way you figured it, huh? You were absolutely right. Congratulations to you.
Now, again, this was another word game, Gordon, that he was just so well at doing, right?
Yeah, and again, you're talking about his complete versatility. You're now looking at not only 3 different games, but 3 completely different genres. You had trivia/puzzle game, you had acting fun game, and now you had Brainiac word game. Now, one of the things that I thought was the most intriguing about his career in terms of that, and I want to go back to the sub-hosting role for 1 second, because a very little-known fact about Jeff Edwards is that, yes, he did do Treasure Hunt, but he was also sort of like the gentleman's sub on many different game shows, including some more mainstream ones that you're not aware of. For argument's sake, did you know that Jeff Edwards was a stand-in and substituted for Money Hall for a week on Let's Make a Deal?
And as a matter of fact, Chico, what do you got for us?
I've got a clip of Jeff Edwards as Money Hall on Let's Make a Deal. This is from 1984 off the GSN run. Give it a listen.
All right, time to make another deal, and let's see who we're going to deal with there. We're hooting and shooting for a deal. Okay, hoot and shoot with me. How are you, Annie?
Fine, how are you?
Good. Your last name is?
Tackett.
Annie Tackett.
Right.
All right, Annie Tackett. How would you like to own what is behind curtain number one? It's a brand new car, Annie.
Mazda's GLC Deluxe Sedan. Standard features include a peppy 1.5-liter engine, front-wheel drive, reclining front bucket seats, plus a roomy interior and more from Mazda. With tax and license, it sells for $8,850.
All right. Now you and I have one problem so far.
What?
Oh, you didn't answer my question.
I'd love to win that.
You love?
Yes.
Love to own
love
it.
To.
All right, fine. I'm going to tell you how simple it's going to be. I hear thundering footsteps behind me. It is either the attack of the cavalry or Brian is coming up with a little light here. Okay, this is the way this is going to work. First of all, listen carefully to how Brian describes this item.
Ready Light rechargeable light is always charged, hanging right where you can find it. Ready Light from First Alert, because your family comes first.
Right, the simple description, a nice item. To own the car, all you have to do is give me the manufacturer's suggested retail price on the West Coast of this light, and you can be within $2 either way, $2 higher, $2 lower, that's okay. Think a little bit if you want. I want the manufacturer's retail price.
$22.50.
Is that right, Annie?
Yeah.
All right, $22.50. Before we see the actual price, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. If you want to forget all about that guess of yours, which this man down here said, oh, no, it's probably a dumb guess according to him, I'll give you a sure $500. Right here, I have the $500 someplace. Or if you want, you can forget about the guess, forget about the $500, and you can have what's behind the big box there that Melanie is next to. So what do you want to do? You want to stick with your guess? You want $500? You want what's behind the box or the car at stake?
The light?
Who's helping you back there?
My fiancé.
Your fiancé is helping you.
Uh-huh. I'm going to stick with the light.
You're going to stick with the light. All right, first of all, let's see what you gave up that's behind the box. And looks like that you are not going to have yourself some new kitchen appliance.
From Gibson, Kitchen Appliances featuring a frost-clear refrigerator freezer with adjustable cantilever shelves, twin glide-on crispers, and a total energy-saving system. A portable dishwasher with three levels of washing action and an energy-saver switch. And an electric range with self-cleaning oven, black glass oven door, digital clock, smokeless broiler pan and grill. From Gibson, one of the white consolidated industries. The three kitchen appliances are valued at $1,807.95.
Well, things not going too smoothly. So which is your fiancé back there? The guy in the cowboy hat talked you into giving up the $500. You gave up the kitchen appliances, but we have right here the ready light, and you said it was
$22.50.
If you're within $2 either way, you've got yourself a brand new car. The retail price is $29.95. Oh dear, I am so sorry, Annie. I'll tell you what though, you're engaged. I'm going to give you $100 for an engagement present. Get something that you like and that he doesn't. Okay? Big hand for Annie Tackett. Thanks for being with us. Let's make a deal.
Was he Monty Hall? No, but he fit perfectly. I loved your description, Gordon, as the poor man's Bull Cullen, because he never felt out of place no matter where he went. It's amazing.
An interesting thing about Jeff Edwards is that, and you can see this in all of his appearances, is that he is always acting in the moment, from being the quizmaster in Jackpot to being this crazy actor on Treasure Hunt to being the deal master on Let's Make a Deal. And then there's something where he just couldn't help but play games with his contestants.
Ah, yes. Capitalizing on the video game craze of the 1980s, there was a show that I believe was out of Atlanta? Did they take
it? It was out of JM Productions in San Francisco.
But I thought they filmed it in Atlanta too. But it was on TBS. And it was...
They filmed the early episodes in Atlanta. Then it moved to San Francisco, where Jeff Edwards hosted.
Right. And this was a game called Starcade. And now, you would never think that he would succeed in this particular genre. But he did. Gordon, why?
One of the great things about Jeff Edwards, is that every show that he touched at one point or another was a hit. He didn't have many, pardon the expression, clunkers. in his resume. Almost everything he did turned to gold. And part of the reason why was because as the host, as the actor, as the role, as the player, so to speak, or as the conduit, he was one of the reasons why the show was a hit. And that is very attributed to Jeff Edwards. As good as the shows were, and of course most of the premises were very good, you still need talent to be able to convey the show and to convey the action. Jeff Edwards was fantastic at both.
And to me, it just goes to show you the versatility. He was good at pretty much every show that he did. And Chico, you have an example of that.
I do. This is actually from Starrcade. And, you know, you look at a guy like Jeff Edwards, you would not think that he spent most of that time in a studio playing all the video games and giving the contestants little hints. Stuff that you could try at home if you had the quarters and the access to your local game hall. Listen to what he says about Star Trek, all right? Here he is, Starrcade 1983.
Okay, Jared, you picked Star Trek. Why'd you pick Star Trek?
Well, I think I can get a fair amount of points to start off with.
Okay, now you have 50 seconds. It's a little bit different than playing in the arcade. I would advise you, and you don't have to take my advice if you don't want to, and you could listen to Mike, or you don't have to do that either. But I advise you not to bother to dock, because that takes a lot of time, and save your photons for, this third or fourth sector, okay?
Okay.
All right, but you don't have to do that. Ready? 50 seconds. Get set. Play.
Welcome aboard, Captain.
Oh, okay, here he comes. He died. 44 seconds. A little collision there. Good, got it. Next sector. 35 seconds.
Entering sector 1.2.
Seconds.
Entering sector 1.3.
Good shot. 10 seconds. Room 5.
Entering sector 1.4.
8,475. Jared, nice going. Congratulations, my friend. Head on back, and here comes Mike. Now, Mike, he did pretty well. I advised him not to dock, and he docked right away. So maybe I gave him the wrong advice. I don't know. What do you think you're going to do?
Just try to shoot everything in sight.
Shoot everything in sight. Okay, that may be the best advice yet. Here you go. 50 seconds to go. Ready? Get set. Play. Fire. Got it. Plenty of time. Doing fine. All right, 30 seconds.
Entering sector 1.3.
All right. Don't forget the photon. 15 seconds.
Sector 1.4.
All right, boy, you know how to play that game, Mike.
His last major hit, at least in the game show, well, this was his fifth particular show that he did very well, which was basically a survey show, which was sort of a ripoff of Family Feud called Play the Percentages. And again, fun stuff.
And again, here is his example of his existing at the moment. There's this one, and then there's another one after this, but let's get to this one first. Here's a $13,000 win on the Play the Percentages endgame from 1980. Take a listen.
Gentlemen, what percentage of the people we polled could tell us who is the Prince of Darkness? Who is the Prince of Darkness? What percentage of the people could come up with that answer? Everybody locked in. Okay, John, what'd you say?
I thought a real high percentage would know that, 89%.
John says 89%. What do you say, Dennis?
For some reason, I'm right around 67%, and I haven't the foggiest notion why.
Well, okay, I like your reasoning. Remember, anybody hits it right on the nose wins the game right then, and $13,000. So let's see. John, you said 89%. You said 67%. How many people could tell us who the Prince of Darkness was? 60! Don't you guys go away yet. I want to say goodbye, but first of all, I want to talk to you. First of all, Dennis, who is the Prince of Darkness?
I don't know.
But I don't know.
See, now let me tell you something, because this is really fascinating to me. Dennis is an ex-minister, see, and the Prince of Darkness is Satan.
I don't believe in Satan.
You better believe in something, because you just picked up $13,000 in that percentage guess, and I think that's terrific. You saved your championship. Not only that, but you have a grand total in winnings now, Williams is, of $16,100.
And if you want to fast forward to the mid to late 80s, when we were talking about $13,000, and he acts like that, imagine what happens when $3.8 million is on the line. During his time on Chain Reaction for USA, he was also doing a California lottery show. You guys might have heard of it. It's called The Big Spin. And if you won a trip to play The Big Spin, you get up on stage trying to spin the big wheel with the ball for big money. If you've lived in California any length of time during the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, you may have seen it. It's pretty addictive, even for just a show with a stage and a wheel. But here it is. But here is a $3.8 million win on the Big Spin from 1987.
Well, our grand prize starts tonight at $3,825,000. And one of these people could win it.
Jeff, say hello to a truck operator from Los Angeles, Dave Flynn.
Hello, David.
How are you doing?
Yes, great, thanks. Turn around here. There you go. Yeah, bring it on home, Daddy, right?
Bring it on home.
Yeah. Now, you watch this show every week, right?
That's right.
Yeah, every Saturday night you watch this show.
Right.
What happened last Saturday?
I was watching something else.
The one time, right?
The one time that I missed it.
Yeah, so how'd you find out?
Well, they called me. Some of my friends called me. My girlfriend called me and let me know.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it, but I mean, they let me know.
Yeah.
After several of them called, then I knew that
something was happening, right?
Something was happening.
I understand you're quite a bowler.
No, I'm not quite a bowler. I just do a lot of bowling.
Well, let me tell you, in the gold slot, there's $3,825,000. You ready to go for it, David? Okay, here we go.
Go over here, all right.
Now, I know you want to get yourself a mobile home, right?
That's right. I want to travel. I want to retire and travel.
Let's see if we can start you off on that. Oh, look at the bottom. Whoa, it's going to stay. Hang on. It's going to stay 5 seconds. It is right on the edge. You have $3,825,000, David. You believe it? And you have yourself $3,825,000. David, this is Jean Nixon, and she has a check for you.
Congratulations, David.
Yeah. With all this success, number one, he embraced his legacy. And number two, in his third act, he became a travel writer and cruised around the world with his current wife and wrote about it extensively and became a very successful travel blogger as well. What we're here sort of to talk about here and sort of sum up here is what his legacy is. Gordon, I'm going to start with you. What do you think his legacy is?
Let's put it this way. If you are a current comic looking to break into the game show world, whether you are a Howie Mandel or a Cedric the Entertainer or a Steve Harvey, for that matter. The blueprint is Jeff Edwards. Jeff Edwards' versatility was clear in terms of his comic shtick. And again, from any standpoint of how you looked at it in terms of any sort of entertainer, he was the original Howie Mandel or Cedric the Entertainer before game shows were hip, just because of his comedic background. And if you look at it, he was really the first game show host that added comedy into his repertoire. That only added to his versatility, not just him as a host, but him as a full entertainer. As you said, he was good in any vehicle that you put him in, not just from an entertainment standpoint and a game show host standpoint, but even as you said, as in his later career as well. So as someone that has studied him and has studied the game for years, he is one of those acts that's truly going to be missed because he was the full package. A lot of the shows that he did, if you notice in his repertoire, he didn't work on the easy game shows. He worked on the hard ones. Jackpot is a very complicated show. So is Chain Reaction if you don't host it properly.
That means you, Dylan Lane. Sorry, but not trying to...
But he made it look effortless. He made it look like a pro. And he used his complete background in order to really make an impact in terms of who he was as both a comedian and as a game show host. And you can even tell just by the number of times that he was subbing in all the shows that he was in, even one of the big granddaddies of them all, which was Let's Make a Deal. So one of the far and away underrated talents in the past 20 years in terms of game show history, Jeff Edwards is a unique talent. It's going to be a very, very, very long time until someone remotely close to him shows up, and he's going to be missed immensely.
Chico, your final thoughts.
My final thoughts, not so much as Jeff Edwards, the game show host, because as affable and as friendly as in the moment and with that joie de vivre that he has on the screen, he projected it off the screen as well, I found. Jeff and I, we actually connected through Facebook, which is actually how most of us have connected. Only a select few of us have gotten the honor of meeting him in person. I know Matt Oninger has. I know Joe Van Ginkel has. The man you saw on the television, he is 10 times the man in person. He was a friendly, engaging, outgoing, adventurous. He was the kind of person that you wanted, not just in a good game show host, but in a really good person.
Exactly. And
if I may say one thing he liked outside of game shows, and this speaks to where he matriculated from, Gordon, you'll love this. He loved Duke basketball.
Yay!
He was a proud Duke University graduate, by the way.
Yes, he was.
I knew there was a reason why I liked him.
Yeah, when you consider that I went to school at the University of North Carolina...
Ooh.
Yeah, say that on Saturday. By the way, how did they do this? How did they do tonight, anyway? Yeah, never mind. Anyway, it made for lively conversations, especially around March.
And I will just also say this. This guy, Jeff Edwards, was a very well-liked guy within the industry. One of the more interesting principal thoughts about him was he left Treasure Hunt because he thought that the contestants were going to get too abused in the fourth season, if you remember correctly. Like a part of a car, a part of this, a part of that. He thought Chuck Barris went over the top. You know, he was a nice guy. He was the old school game show host guy, but incredibly versatile. Incredibly versatile and an incredible life story. I mean, the fact to go from radio guy to news reporter to successful actor and game show host in, Gordon, what, five game shows? Five game shows that are classic. that...
Well, five of that are classic that we believe are classic. That doesn't count the other ones that were renewed for more than 1 year. That would be considered hits.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that he's got all that in his resume, you know, it's just one of those things to show how much of a consummate professional and how much of a giant was lost today. An absolute giant within this industry. So, for Chico Alexander, for Gordon Pepper, this is Jason Block saying, Godspeed, Jeff. Thank you for all you have done for us, to all the entertainers, and thank you for being who you were. Because, like I said, a unique cat by any stretch of the imagination. And we'll see you on the flip side here on the CLW 83. Good night, everyone.